This is WHCC in Holland Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number 395-1450. Our guest this mayor is Mayor Dykstra. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Duke. Good to see you again.
Hey, we got some good news this morning, didn't we?
We did. Yeah, we got, let's see, what I assume you're talking about the most secure city, mid-sized city in the country? Yeah, that's great news. And frankly, I found out about it through the way everybody else did, by watching and hearing media reports. So as I understand it, insurance companies looked at a whole variety of data, crime statistics and likelihood of major natural disaster kinds of things, and looked at all sorts of cities across the country. In our size category, we led the way in the U.S. So I think that a lot of us understand that compared to a lot of different places, we have very low crime here and really a lot fewer risks for bad things to happen than what you have in other places, even though occasionally, bad things do happen. But as a matter of the likelihood of it happening, it's much less likely to happen here than most other places in the country. So another feather in the cap for this community.
Isn't that amazing? We've won a lot of awards.
We have. In terms of job growth numbers, if you look at what's happening across the state of Michigan, our job growth numbers they compare very well. We're leading the state. For a while in 2012, we were actually leading the country in terms of manufacturing job growth.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're still in the top 20 nationwide in terms of those numbers. You look at the amount of things that get exported out of this our local economy overseas, or at least out of the country. We're second in the state in terms of that kind of intensity. If you look at the amount of intellectual property generated, new inventions, patents, those kinds of things, we're second in the state of Michigan in terms of our intensity of doing those kinds of things. We were named one of the prettiest towns by Forbes magazine recently. Of course, the Happy City thing isn't that long ago. So there's lots and lots of good things that demonstrate that Holland's a pretty great place.
Right. All right. Our mayor here, and if you'd like to talk to him, you may do so by calling 395-1450, and our line is open for questions. We have something going on here that we should talk about that helped us make it pretty, and that is leaf pickup.
Leaf pickup, yes. In the city, for city residents, you can always leave your leaves at the edge of the curb, and if you don't have curbs, just get them close to the streets, and the crews will come and pick them up. One thing I always like to remind people is that in the fall, it's just leaves. This is not the time to be cutting down your ornamental grasses or bringing grass clippings or trimming your shrubs and those kinds of things and bringing those to the curb. They won't be picked up. And if you mix your leaves with those things, none of it will get picked up. So fall is for leaves only. That's enough stuff for the crews to pick up before the snows come and the snows fly. And it's really a great, great service. I mean, I think, if you think about some of the benefits that the City of Holland provides, and if you ask people what do they like about some of the services that the city provides, certainly police and fire services are top, parks are right up there. But in terms of the service that, you get at home, one that tends to come to mind often is the spring cleanup and the fall leaf pickup. It's so convenient. It's easy. It makes the town look a whole lot better, and it provides a good base of mulch for future plantings. So, leaves only, though, please, folks.
Yeah.
Leaves only.
All right. The one downer part of our report this morning is about streets and getting the streets back in shape before the ice flies.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, South Washington's done, and it looks great and drives even better. We've got the issue, of course, the project still ongoing on Lincoln Avenue. It's a bit more than your typical repaving of it. They had to do a few things there, so it's the street's kind of blocked off. A couple of the businesses certainly are still accessible that are on Lincoln Avenue between 24th and 32nd Streets, but hopefully that gets wrapped up soon, because as we all know, as soon as deer hunting really kicks in earnest, the asphalt plants shut down for
the
year, and that's it. So you got to get it done by then, and from what I'm told, it's right on schedule and everything's going fine.
And then we've been doing the lots at the library and City Hall.
Right, exactly. City Hall is still somewhat closed down. A little bit of the parking lot is now open. It's rough. But part of what they were doing at City Hall also is more than just simply repaving the parking lot. There was some of the drainage systems there had deteriorated, so there's some underground work and some concrete work that they had done, and they want to let that cure. And the plan is, depending upon the weather, of course, the plan is to finish up that project next week sometime. And the library in the city, of course, the library is governed separate from the city. It's a district thing. but as a way to be cooperative and hopefully get better pricing on both projects, because both of us were going to do our parking lots. We bid it together, and the same contractor is doing both projects since they're right across the street, and we think we got a better price because we did both of them.
Good.
Rather than each of us doing it separately. So, good. You know, we try to do those kinds of things whenever we can, and kudos to the staff at the library, the executive director at the library, and, of course, kudos to our city manager for, you know, being in communication and thinking about these kinds of things as a way to save some bucks.
Indeed. Indeed it is. All right. Let's take a moment out for a word here. We're here with the mayor. If you have a question, you may call us at
Delon and Spahn. Ron Weatherby and Jerry Klomperins bring you the action. It's Hope College Football on 92.7thevan.com and 92.7 The Van, the voice of Hope College Sports.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Hey, Mayor. I'm wondering if the city's going to do anything about the people that keep running the red lights on U.S. 31 and 32nd Street, 16th Street. I mean, blatant red lights. They're cruising through there like there's no tomorrow. And something needs to be done, because every day between 1 and 1:30, I go through there to stop for work, and 2 to 4 cars will run that light.
Mm. Well, you know, I know we have people who listen to this program, and I wouldn't be surprised, and I'll certainly mention it to the traffic division of the Public Safety Department, that they perhaps might want to throw a bit more of a patrol at those areas. You know, as you understand, as everyone understands, you can't be everywhere at once, but if we see particularly troublesome areas, sometimes they'll step up some enforcement there, which has both the effect of catching a few people but also reinforcing that this is a spot you don't want to be breaking the law by running red lights. So I will certainly pass that along, and thanks for bringing it to my attention.
Well, why don't we get a dummy out there that looks like a policeman, and they'll think he's there to slow down.
Yeah, you know, some communities in other states have done these red light traffic cameras.
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm not a fan at all of those. But you know, certainly, it's not just a matter of breaking the law, but the, you know, if people run those lights, it is an incredible safety hazard. And what you don't want to see happen is a situation where somebody gets seriously injured or killed because they couldn't wait a few, you know, 90 seconds to let the lights cycle through.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, any other calls, give us a call, 395-1450. We're here with the mayor this morning, and he has a lot of answers that we ordinarily don't have. So,
or he makes them up. No, no, just kidding. I do my best. And I try to, if I don't know the answer, I try to be pretty candid about that,
okay,
too.
Well, let's talk a little bit about an update on the rental housing matter.
Yeah, we've got that on the agenda again tonight, and you know, ultimately, this is sort of a confluence of a variety of things. One of them is... we've had a dramatic number of increase in our rental units in the city, and a lot of it has to do, or a lot of it is concentrated in some of the older parts of the city, some of the neighborhoods closest to downtown, you know, the houses that were built earliest in this community and those kinds of things. And we, therefore, have not had the opportunity to really keep on top of the rental inspection system for those increases. And, you know, not always, but sometimes, and in many cases, you know, folks who rent houses are perhaps some of our more vulnerable residents, and we want to make sure that the properties they have are in good condition and that they're safe. That's the purpose of the program. And obviously, most of our landlords are exceptionally good people. They, you know, many of them take better care of their rental properties than what some owner-occupied properties do. So this is not at all a matter of having it out for landlords or those kinds of things. And we've heard from quite a few landlords that, you know what, they want to you know, that they want to be good participants in the community. And frankly, they don't like being sort of painted with ones that you know, don't take as good a care of their property. So we had an initial proposal to get some revenue to get the program back up, and we heard from a lot of our landlords, and they weren't real crazy about the fee increases. And they had some suggestions for us. So what we've done is in sort of taking their suggestions into consideration, we revised the program. And what we heard from our landlords, the good ones especially, was, you know, don't penalize the good ones for issues that the not so good landlords are causing. Right now, under the current system, you get at least a couple of inspections for your initial fee. So you pay the fee every 6 years or so. An inspector comes out, and if he finds something and he has to come back, right now that's covered. And what we heard with that initial fee, what we heard from our good landlords was, you know what, if people are causing the inspectors to take more time, they ought to be the ones paying for it. And that seems to make a lot of sense to me, quite frankly. So the revised proposal is this. The fee stays the same, and if the inspector comes in and everything looks good, you get your six-year certificate and all is well. If the inspector has to come back, then there's an additional charge for that. So it's kind of a fee-for-service situation that the landlord's causing the additional work for the inspectors because they're not not fully compliant with their property are the ones who are going to have to pay a little bit more for it. And we're talking relatively modest fees overall. It's a $75 permit fee, and then the re-inspection fees start out at around $50 thereafter. So I think it's a good compromise. It will make sure that our rental housing stock is in good shape, it's safe, it's clean, and that those who are renting in the community can take good comfort in the fact that they're obtaining good quality housing. At the same time, we get enough revenue in the system to make sure we stay on top of the program, and at the same time, taking into consideration the landlords, it's the ones who are causing more of the work who are going to end up paying for more of more of the cost. So I think it's a good compromise all the way around, and we've heard from a few landlords since we revised the proposal, and they've been in favor of it. They think it's a good workable solution, and they appreciate the fact that we're trying to put more of the cost on those who are causing more of the issue.
Do they check for fire alarms?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Fire alarms, general problems. There's a whole checklist.
Any safety.
Yeah, and before the inspectors go out, they will send the landlords a copy of the checklist that they'll use when they do the inspection, so, the landlords know exactly, what's going to be checked on.
Okay.
But fire alarms, absolutely, and it's the hardwired fire alarm. So if your fire alarm in the bedroom starts ringing, it connects to all the various levels.
Look out.
Yeah, right.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Yes, in regards to the rental property inspections and stuff, do they have to be brought up to code?
Yes, there is what's called the Basic Property Maintenance Code, and it is it's an external code that I don't know exactly who puts it out, but Holland has adopted it. Most Michigan communities have adopted this code, and that's the standard to which basically any project is held, whether it's a rental house, whether you have, if you put an addition on your house to pass the inspection for the addition, you have to, meet the property maintenance code.
There's a difference, though, between these old properties that are in a central city and the newer ones who have been built.
Right.
But, if you make a old property bring it up to code, aren't you violating the ex post facto clause of the Constitution?
No, because, it depends upon the specific thing you're talking about. So, for example, I'm trying to think of something I can use as an example.
Let's just talk wiring. Let's say that you have the old two-prong wires in your house, and now all of a sudden you have the inspector come through, and he says, "Oh, this is not grounded. You got to have three wires." That means you got to rewire the whole freaking house. Now, this is the question: if that house was built in let's say 1900, and it had the two-wire system, it was safe then. Now you're going to make it come up to the standards that was built in, let's say, 1977 or whenever the three-wire system became code. That's not fair to the guy with the old house, even though you haven't proven that the old one is unsafe, and you're making him read a new standard that wasn't in place in 1900, right?
Well, there are some things that have to simply be brought up to code regardless. So, for example, and especially if someone is trying to, in essence, make money on a property, use it as a business by renting it out. So, for example,
what difference does it make if it's my own personal home or it's a rental property? If my own personal home has still got the two-wire system, why do I have to make a more safe place for some renter?
Because you're treating it as a business, that's why. And so, for example, I let you talk. Let me finish it up here. So, for example, one of the requirements is that for a commercial property, a rental property or commercial property, and frankly, you need to have these hardwired smoke detectors. It's a matter of health, welfare, and safety. It's an ordinance that the council has passed.
That's a new requirement. And all of that stuff you're putting on landlords. You're not talking about the citizens who own the same house.
Well, you're breaking up, but I think your comment was that you're putting things on landlords that aren't on citizen houses or people who are owner-occupied. Now, I will say, for example, the city ordinance regarding smoke detector being hardwired is one that when you sell the house, it has to have hardwired smoke detectors, whether it's owner-occupied or a rental property. But some of the codes do not. I mean, some of it is. You don't have to bring things up fully to today's code. So, for example, and this isn't a rental situation, but it's a commercial property nonetheless, Pillar Church, for example, built before the Civil War, there's not a sprinkler system in that sanctuary. Now, doesn't have to add one right now, but at some point, if Pillar were to do a major addition or renovation to its property, probably it would have to add a sprinkler system or an elevator or those kinds of things. So, I can't give you all the ins and outs because I'm not the guy who enforces that stuff or works with it on a daily basis, but some of the codes, you have to meet them even if the house is old. Others of the codes, you only need to bring it up to that sort of modern level when you do major work, renovation, or addition to.
But you're saying you have to meet them by the city's standard. But I'm asking you, under the constitutional standard, which is supposed to be the law of the land, why do we have to meet them then when the ex post facto clause doesn't require that? It says just the opposite, that it doesn't have to be done because the standard was not in place at the time.
I guess I would suggest to you that I don't think the Constitution is implicated in this particular matter.
You're a lawyer. You know what the ex post facto clause is.
I'll have to cut you off, sir. You're... Okay. Time out for this word.
Who does more than just fill prescriptions? Paul's Pharmacy does.
I don't like that. Paul, my guest liars.
The questions about your pills. Who takes the time to care? This pharmacy does. This pharmacy does.
Paul's Pharmacy on Lincoln Avenue, just south of 32nd in Holland. Call 396-5233.
And now a look at our weather. The weather is brought to you by our friends at the Farmhouse Restaurant. Check out their fall features from the new menu insert. The Farmhouse, Zealand.com. And for our weather today, showers expected with a high of 45, and tonight showers with a low of 37, and tomorrow showers with a high of 43, and Friday morning we might have some showers with a high of 45 again. And right now we're looking at, I lost the temperature, but yeah, we're looking at showers, but we're looking at... about 35 degrees. Wow, it's cool out there, isn't it? Okay, we're here with the mayor this morning. If you'd like to talk to him, 395-1450. Our line is open for you, and we are going to have some trick-and-treating in Holland, I trust?
We are. And in Holland, we always do it on Halloween. So
yes.
Even if Halloween falls midweek, like it sort of does this week, this year, it is midweek, and I think it's 6 to 8 this year. But if you check the city's website, you can find out exactly the hours of it, but it will be on Halloween, the 31st.
Right.
Novel concept.
Okay, and we have a call coming in. Good morning, you're online with the mayor?
Yeah, that guy that just called, if he would read up on things on the electrical, if it's a two-wire home, but it's an older home, they make circuit breakers that you can put into the fuse box to compensate for that, which the city approves. They run $200 to $400, but that's a lot cheaper than trying to run wire through the whole home.
Yeah. Okay.
All you have to do is buy a new breaker for it.
Hey, thanks for that info. See, that's details that I don't know about, but you learn something every day. Appreciate that.
Yeah, because my nephew, he rents homes, and he had to go buy a breaker because there wasn't one for a certain area, and it was a couple hundred dollars. He said, but it was a few hundred dollars cheaper than having an electrician come in and run wires.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Hi. I'm back on the former subject, and
yes.
I have to agree that you do place undue harm on people who rent to others. And I also I just wanted to do a for instance. I know someone who rents an apartment, and he had, because his renters continually parked on the lawn, even though they were not supposed to, he got the fine, not them, and that's really scary. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Of course, the landlord in that instance has a couple of options that they can do. They can have it in the lease that, those costs get passed along. The landlord can probably make it a condition of the lease that you adhere to the law, and if not, you get evicted, and or when the term is up, they can choose not to rent to the person. So, you have to strike a balance in these things, and where one person might strike a balance probably may not be where everyone strikes a balance, and vice versa. So, we try to do our best to balance the issues of health, safety, and welfare for those who are renting with not being overly burdensome and those who are seeking to do the renting.
Okay. Hey, we're going to have an election.
Hey, how about that? Less than a couple weeks, Tuesday, November 5. So that will be upcoming, and you're starting to see some signs out and mailers happening. And, of course, the League of Women Voters Forum was this week, which was well attended, and a very good forum. I mean, the League does just an absolutely great job every time they host a forum. I was talking with one of the League members, and the day before, they had held one in the Saugatuck Douglas area on the consolidation issue, and that one was well attended as well. So the League better watch out. They've kind of set the bar high in terms of attendance. Five members of council are up, including myself, seeking re-election, and not to turn this into a campaign thing, but I'd certainly appreciate the votes of those who are listening in the city of Holland.
Okay. Good morning, online with the mayor.
Hey, did I hear the story correctly that there was going to be, the council had decided on doing a type of legislation on rental units, and then the Landlords Association was unhappy with it, so the council people decided to rethink it. Is that how I heard the news story? Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't know that it was the Landlords Association, but we certainly heard from individual landlords. But right, exactly. So there was a proposal put out there. The landlords many of them commented on it. Some were in favor. Most were, had some concerns about it. So, we take that into consideration, rework the proposal, and we've heard from at least a few landlords who liked the revised proposal a whole lot better.
So the Landlords Association, and probably most of them don't live in the city, they have more say than the people that live in the neighborhoods, because you can pick a rental unit out. You can drive through up and down any Holland City street, and you can pick the rental unit up. Am I correct?
No, I don't think you can. I mean, I think some of them can.
Ask the citizens that live next door.
Sure. I mean,
there should be regulation on these people, because they currently live in Allegan County, or they live someplace, or they own 150 homes, and they don't give it the attention that you or I would living in our own home. So there should be regulation on them, and it should be stiff to keep our neighborhoods beautiful and our streets safe and the houses all looking good and keeping us a tourist attraction. But anyway, it just bothers me that as you say, it wasn't the association, but landlords. The city council was elected by the people, had their thought process all set to go, and I'm sure it was well thought out and well done with all the committees you people go through. And a few phone calls or a few key people come up, and boom, it changes.
That's
policy.
Okay. I mean, thanks for the call. I mean, it changes somewhat. I think it gets refined, and a few changes get made. But the ultimate, I mean, the point of the proposal as initially proposed, the point of the proposal as subsequently proposed, is to get caught up on the backlog of rental inspections and to have the revenue in place to do so. And the first version of the proposal would have done that, and the revised proposal also does that, and the revised proposal has better buy-in from basically all sides of the equation, because those who are in favor of getting rid of the backlog, that's their concern, and that's what they want to see happen. And those who are in the landlord business or the rental business, who wanted to see some revisions to it, had their reasons, and so both sides get accomplished. And that, to me, is precisely what I think you'd like to have from elected people. Whether we have, let's put it this way: we have other business owners, factory businesses, other businesses, whose owners may not live directly within the city limits, and I think that it's good policy for the council to listen to people who have invested in the city one way or the other, whether it's living here, whether it's owning a business, whether it's both. And there are certainly some landlords who both live in the city and also have rental units in the city. So I think it's a win-win in this whole situation, because the ultimate goals are accomplished in ways that, more people can agree on. So I think that's an example of good public policy and good decision-making in action.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Yes. We're talking about this electrical bit. I think some of these older, like this older gentleman, he don't understand back in the 1900s, what did we have on electric and what have we got used for electric today? It is comparable. I mean, come on now. We got everything electric, and it's for our own safety that we got to have all these upkeeps and all these new modern things done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, that what 50 years ago, 100 amp service was pretty impressive, and now now you got to double that up at least.
At least, and then they still have all the connections running over the floor where they can connect 4, 5, 6 units into
right.
one.
Yeah, I mean, I do know that, you know, in houses I've bought, I've owned a few houses in my life that I've lived in, and I seem to have upgraded the electrical from 100 amp to 200 amp service in almost every one of them. So you're exactly right. Times change, and you want to make sure that things are in good shape.
They're upgrading it for our own good, and the plug-in safety thing, too. All these plug-in safety things, those little button things that pops out and in, these are all for our own good.
Yep. The ground fault circuit interrupters, exactly, around wet areas, kitchens, baths, those kinds of, you're exactly right.
Yes, and I don't think we should complain because we really have a lot of things to be thankful for, that we got people with the knowledge to know how to do it and how to fix it and keep it all going so we have electric.
All right, well, hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and
bye-bye.
Thank you, Mayor, for being here this morning and talking to us, and bringing us up to speed on
something.
Good
morning, and welcome to
the... Hey, well, I appreciate it, Duke. Good to see you again.